That's what all Bob Brown's clients say about him. Good morning, Bob. Good morning. From Arizona Foundation Specialists. Folks, you're tuned in to Rosie on the House. You know, we broadcast just, we're Arizona specific. It's where we know how to build. It's where we've built literally from Page to Nogales, from Springerville to Ehrenberg, and virtually every point in between, we've been there. Arizona, known for its iconic sedimentary levels of soil laid bare by years of exposure. Think Sedona. Think Canyon de Chelly. Think the Grand Canyon, as well as where iconic igneous testimony to volcanic activity throughout all the state. Think San Francisco peaks, the lava flows throughout the Coconino Plateau, as well as the prominent granite monoliths like Tucson Mountain, the Rincon's Camelback Mountain, Pinnacle Peak, and the road cut on Highway 51 just south of Chelly. It has to be one of the prettiest geologic exposures in the entire state. I never come south of Chelly on 51 and not am in awe of that particular road cut. It's just like if that exposure could talk, what would it have to say? Arizona is unique in a lot of its soil conditions, and we've brought Bob Brown in, owner of Arizona Foundation Solutions, to talk about what soil conditions you may have to be concerned about, because we have some tricky, tricky soils. Okay, Bob, here's a test. Here's a trivia test. If I name a county, you tell me what's the prominent soil problem in that area.
Okay, I'll do my best.
You ready for that? Cochise, Wilcox, Benson.
Yeah, right. It's kind of closer to more like Texas soils. Fair amount of clays down in that area, especially as you get down towards south. And for some reason, like if you get down towards Benson, Sierra Vista, the soil problems run really deep. We've put piles in over 120 feet deep in those areas.
Wasn't there a Safeway or a Walgreens right that y'all had to save from sinking in a hole or something?
Safeway, Ace Hardware.
And where was that?
That was in Benson.
And so what did y'all have to do? What were they experiencing in that situation?
Well, they had really deep collapsible soils, up to 100 feet deep. And it was very difficult to stabilize. They had some of those areas, like there's a big campus of energy campus that where they put in caissons, 50 feet, which is usually plenty, still moving around because the layers are so deep there that have a lot of movement.
Okay, how about Pinal County?
Well, like Coolidge, we've seen a lot of problems in Coolidge town out that way. When you get out towards Queen Creek, which I guess is still Pinal, right?
Yes. Yeah.
You have some fissures from water table subsidence all the way down to like Pima County, same thing down that way towards like Picacho Peak.
It was actually about 12 years ago, as I recall, 12, 13 years ago, where a fissure actually opened in the Queen Creek area and a family lost a horse and a barn.
Right. Yep. That goes on there.
Hello?
Yep.
I had some participation in building a church up in Apache County, and it is horrible soil condition up there. As a matter of fact, the pastor's wife called my house one day and said, "Rosie, someone stole the pump house." And I said, "Miss Evelyn, no, you can't. Why would anyone steal a pump house?" She says, "Rosie, it's gone. The pump house is gone." I said, "Well, when Ralph gets up, just have him walk out there and go take a look." And he called back a little while. He said, "Rosie, the roof of the well house is about 9 feet below the level. It's like it just sunk 30 feet.
Yeah, you know, up that direction on the Colorado Plateau, you're going to get what they call Chinle clays. And they are just extremely, extremely volatile. A lot of montmorillonite, kaolinite. Very, very, very active.
It's like building in talcum powder. I mean, you can't dig a trench that retains itself. If you want a 12-inch wide or 18-inch wide or 24-inch wide footing,
You have to dig it twice that wide, and you actually have to form it. It won't even stand up for itself.
Right. We've done a lot of work in like Kayenta and that area, and it's all wind deposited loesses quite a bit. You can see all the sand piles up in the gutters of the streets. Just a lot of wind activity. That's how those monuments got created, is wind erosion.
Man. All right. So how about Maricopa County?
Well, Maricopa County is actually, for the most part, probably some of the best soils in the nation for building a house on, generally speaking. I mean, there are some areas in Maricopa County that are not great, but like Phoenix in general, pretty good soils, fairly dry, fairly less clay, certainly, and kind of good for building on, you know, when you compare it to other cities like Dallas or Colorado or back east or California.
I was looking at some construction projects. Of course, like you may have heard, Romy and I just got back from about a week in South Louisiana, which is under a huge building boom right now. Of course, that had a lot to do with the price of oil at $112 a barrel. I don't know how long the boom's going to last. But, I mean, building down there, they're literally excavating 12 to 18 inches deep to where there's standing water, and then they're rebuilding the entire building foundation from 24 inches deep coming up.
Yeah, and they do a lot of deep piles in that area of the country because the soil problems run so deep there. The soil is just not very load-bearing. It's probably about 100 times worse than Phoenix soil.
Yeah, it's why they don't bury people. All their cemeteries are above ground.
That's interesting.
Because the coffins just float up. Now, how about Yavapai County? What are you going to deal with there?
Well, you got a lot more granites. So you're actually going to probably have a lot more radon. Maybe we'll talk about that in the future. But that's one of the prominent features there. And like when you get to Prescott, they still have a fair amount of clays that cause problems.
They do. Now, we're talking soils. We're talking soil conditions that can be troubling. You know, when you're looking at buying a house, you can get a lot of statistics from the home inspector about what the condition of the house is. I've gotten to where I encourage people, start pulling out geological maps. Take a look at if they've got the soil studies for the original subdivision, pull them out and take a look at them.
Yeah, I mean, it's probably hard for the average person to understand a soil report, but for sure you can look at you should be able to find the aerial maps, and that's always interesting. Sometimes you can find a creek running right where your house used to be.
Yeah, and I think a lot of people are surprised when they're trying to close escrow on a house and find out, hey, you're in a floodplain. You need flood insurance. To close the mortgage, you're going to need to do it. And that's in places like old Coronado High School in South Central Scottsdale. Much of that is under the old floodplain.
Yeah, I was surprised to actually have a house up in northern Tucson, Marana area, and it's in a floodplain. I couldn't believe it. I mean, who would have thought?
There are floodplain maps that you can download and take a look at. There are also seismic zone maps you can take a look at and see where your high-risk exposure is. And then, of course, there are expansive soil maps that you can take a look and see where the concentration of problematic soils are.
That's correct.
It's interesting to me. The many times people have called, and we've got Dawn that wants to talk to you about a growing crack in her ceiling. If you've got a condition at your home you're concerned about, whether the soil or the foundation may or not be under stress, give us a call. We're here with Bob Brown of Arizona Foundation Solution, 1-888-767-4348. People always say, Rosie, my house is settling.
Right. I mean, and that's what everybody thinks. That's the intuitive thinking, but over three quarters of the time, probably 80% of the time, it's actually not settling. It's actually heaving.
And explain that.
Okay, so there's a lot of misinformation about that. But what it simply is, everybody's heard the term expansive soils, right? I mean, everybody knows what that is. But nobody really understands that what that means is soils that expand when they get wet. So if you have soil underneath your slab and it gets wet, what's it going to do? It's going to expand. It's going to push the slab up, probably in the middle. And that creates lots of problems, cracks in your walls, doors out of square, windows that don't work. And those are very similar symptoms to what's happening is if you have settlement. And so it gets confused a lot.
So how do you determine what a house is actually experiencing?
Well, we're very, very careful about it because it's been mixed up a lot. I mean, historically, contractors and engineers have gotten it wrong for years. So we're very, very careful. We do what we call an engineered analysis. We'll go in and take floor level points all throughout the house. We'll compare that to where the damage is, and we'll do a deflection analysis. And you can look at patterns and start to realize that if you've got a big dome in the middle of the house, it's high in the middle, and all the edges, all the corners are about the same level, and all the damage is in the middle of the house, well, that probably tells you that that's where the action is. It's happening in the middle, not on the edges.
This elevation study you're doing is basically drawing a topographic map of the home.
That's right.
And you're doing that in what amounts of deflection?
Well, the topo lines are in 2/10 of an inch usually.
2/10.
Right.
So you're picking up pretty small amounts of expansion or contraction.
Right. Well, you know, in if you have 2/10 movement, you got nothing to worry about, but what you want to do is be able to see patterns with those lines in 2/10 increments.
And we're going to talk a little bit later that you have recently innovated a way to eliminate the moisture catastrophe of getting your expansive soils under your slab wet. And we're going to talk about that. But right now I do want to jump to Dawn, who's called in on line 2. She has a question about calling from Peoria with a situation in her house. Let's see if we can help her out. Good morning, Miss Dawn.
Good morning, gentlemen. Thank you.
You bet.
Thank you. I bought my house 2 years ago, and the kitchen overlooks dining room. So it's all a nice big open area. In the kitchen area, right in the middle of the kitchen and the ceiling, I noticed probably about a year ago, just a minute crack. And it is now, a year later, and it's almost like 2 hairline cracks. I mean, the crack is thick. It's getting thicker and thicker right down the center of the kitchen, but it doesn't go all the way down the room. It just
all right.
Kind of goes an L shape.
And are you at the house right now, Miss Dawn?
I'm staring right at it.
All right, I'm gonna ask you just to hold real tight. We're gonna go on a quick break and come back and ask you a few more questions about it and see if we can't pin a probable cause of it and help you out as best we can. We have an open line if you'd like to jump in as we go to break. 888-767-4348. Our way on a beautiful Saturday morning across the beautiful state of Arizona on a gorgeous winter Saturday morning here at Rosie on the House. We're talking soils and foundation failure. The number's 1-888-767-4348 with Bob Brown of Bob Brown's Arizona Foundation Solutions operating statewide. I don't know, in all the years I've known you and all the places you just kind of pinpoint little projects you're working on, I can't remember any part of the state you haven't been in.
Yeah, we've been just about everywhere.
Yeah, yeah. I can remember lots of projects you've been on. So we're talking with Joyce in Peoria. She's dealing with a ceiling crack up in her kitchen ceiling. Let's talk through what she might be seeing there.
Sure. I mean, we see cracks in ceilings above laundry rooms and above bathrooms quite commonly because there's a lot of utility trenches buried underneath. That's how they get the plumbing there. And the plumbing, the utility trenches don't get backfilled very well. They don't want to break the pipes when they're backfilling them, and it's just tradition not to compact them very strongly. And so that's where a lot of moisture comes all the way in from the edge of the house and gathers there, and voila, next thing you know, you get heat going in that area.
A lot of remodels we've done where we're going to put a room addition on the side of a house. I've actually got pictures where the backhoe has gone in and scraped away, and you can see the utility trenches stands out like a sore thumb. I mean, it's not
exactly
compacted. It's a conduit for moisture straight in underneath the house.
That's exactly right.
So, it's one of the reasons when we remodel, we compact our backfill trenches.
Well, yeah, be more careful about it. Absolutely.
Okay. We have Dawn, who is trying to use her telephone to send us a pic that we haven't got yet, but we've got Dawn back on. Do we have any more questions for Dawn to pin down? I'd like to know the width of this crack. She says it occurred a year ago and is now reoccurring. How is it fixed? Dawn?
Yes. Good morning. No, I have not tried to fix it. When I first noticed it, you could just see, you know, like a crack forming in the ceiling, but now it's thicker, meaning 2 hairline thick.
So
it's very obvious.
So it's still about like as wide as a pencil lead?
Yes, absolutely.
Is it at the joint between the ceiling and the wall, or is it going across the ceiling?
is going across the middle of the kitchen ceiling. So,
is the house, how old is the house?
6-8 years old now.
Oh, okay. So, yeah, we don't see this too often in homes that are less than 20 years old. Because it takes 20 years to accumulate a lot of moisture under the center of the slab. But typically, we'll see it on 8-year-old homes starting around the perimeter as the moisture works its way towards the middle. So is the kitchen kind of in the middle of the house or on the perimeter?
It's almost in the middle, but it's a wide kitchen. So mm-hmm. I'd probably say it's a good 12 feet from the exterior outside wall to the inside the kitchen wall. I'd say probably a good 12 to 15 feet. And then the crack starts down the center of the house.
But the crack hasn't made itself to a wall and started moving, migrating down the wall yet.
Okay. No, it's not reached. It has reached, the wall.
Where
the kitchen window is, but it hasn't come down to the wall.
Okay. Well, this could be something as simple as just following a load-bearing beam that's up in the ceiling in between where some transitions or roof lines may be occurring. Generally speaking, Dawn, now, during a break, you were going to try and email us a picture so we could have like a little show and tell here.
I tried to text. Mm-hmm.
Okay. Were you able to send it?
Yes, I did send it.
Okay. Mm-hmm. We're going to take a look at that offline and get back to you because a lot of times, are what you hearing raise a lot of anxiety for Dawn?
Not really. I mean, if it's the only crack, I would guess it's not going to be anything to be too worried about. Generally, you want to look at lots of signs together and all by itself, maybe not enough to be real worried about.
That when you start seeing doors that won't close, when you see windows that won't slide one way or another, when you see cracks protruding from the corners of windows and doors, when you see outside foundation cracks, those are all kind of...
Right. And in the kitchen, maybe the crack between, along where the cabinets attach to the wall, you'll start to see the floor moving around and you'll notice that area as well.
Okay. And as we were saying, most people will call you and call me and say, come look at my settling problem.
Right.
But in your experience, 75% of those are actually heaving problems.
Yes, at least that much.
Wow. So there's nothing we can do for those people?
Yes, we do. I mean, I've been working for so long to figure out a solution because, frankly, for the last 20 years, I've been walking away from it. So we've developed a solution, a moisture level system to regulate the moisture underneath the slab.
Well, and it has kind of an additional benefit. I don't think people realize the hazard of radon. It had a little bit of a news sensational flash, I want to say it occurred 20 years ago.
Right.
And it was a major concern for a little while. Now it's kind of faded away. But radon's still very prominent, and it is pretty prominent in Arizona.
Correct. 21,000 people a year die from cancer from radon. So it's still a fairly prominent thing that people need to be aware of.
So we're going to talk about this moisture evacuation system that is also a radon evacuation system that y'all have just recently engineered at Arizona Foundation Solutions when we get back right after this. And when we get back, we'll have Andrew and Diana and you if you'd like to join us at 1-888-767-4348.
Rosie on the Go. Sign up for the Rosie on the House weekly podcast located under the media tab at rosieonthehouse.com.
Coming in to our last half hour of Rosie on the House this Arizona Saturday morning. One of the great things Arizona is not necessarily known for is a huge quantity of geological hazards, like excessive flooding, earthquakes, mass movement. Although there have been some very high-profile mass movements. It was just in 08 where the entire Beeline Highway 87 had a mass slide that actually slid underneath the highway. Can you imagine what that must have felt like as you were driving down the highway and then all of a sudden there are literally waves in the asphalt?
Yeah, well, and up there by Page, they had another big section of the freeway. Is that the same one? I don't know.
No, completely different, but yeah, exactly the same situation.
Right.
Both highways were closed. I don't know that the one to Page is open yet.
No, they're still working on the fix for it.
You're still making that 80-mile detour all the way around. Wow, absolutely incredible. And you've got that landslide and rock falls. Then you've got subsidence.
Correct.
I saw a picture in one of the geological books where Eloy has sunk 15 feet. And that was in a survey that was done in 1952 and then checked again in 1985, and they haven't checked it since. That's 20 years ago. I think someone should go to Eloy and check it.
It's not a bad idea.
I mean, in between 52 and 85, the town of Eloy sunk 15 feet.
Yeah, that's over a very large area. I mean, that whole basin towards the south is going down. It's not just the little area of Eloy.
I would love to see what a current survey would tell you. My first encounter with a fissure was in about 1968. I was riding a motorcycle across the desert north of Bell Road in Scottsdale, and I was following someone. And this is like, you know, within a year or 2 years of arriving in Arizona. And we're flying across the desert floor, and all of a sudden I'm in the sitting position with my hands on no handlebars, sitting on no motorcycle. And I'm flying across the desert, do a beautiful nose plant at about 40 miles an hour right into the – I lost my bike. I mean, I literally flew over a fissure and the bike just disappeared from under me. And that was my first encounter. Northern Scottsdale had many of those back in the 70s before we subdivided and built on all of them.
Correct.
And yep, there's still issues that would have to maybe be dealt with today.
Right. I mean, subsidence does occur when you have a lot of well pumping with water. It's just one of the natural things that happens.
All right. Let's get back to the phones. We've got a lot of people. We have Andrew, Diana, and Doug. One open line if you'd like to jump in, talking geology, soil problems, homes, foundations, cracking, all of those things with Bob Brown of Arizona Foundation Solutions. Open line at 1-888-767-4348.
Andrew, welcome to the program. Go ahead with your question.
I listen to you guys all the time on my work commute every Saturday. I learn a lot and have no clue of anything I remember. But what I did have a question about is what you guys are talking about. If he does an inspection and he finds something and then the homeowner says, I don't feel like correcting it right now, is it a law that he has to report it? Because somebody who buys his house is now in trouble.
Andrew, that's a great question. Bob, how do y'all handle that?
Well, the only time we're really obligated to report it, because it is stamped by our engineer, is if it's a health, safety, or a life safety issue. And I can't think of really a time we've had to do that in all the years. So, I mean, obviously, if the person's going to sell the home, they're required by law and the SPUDs to disclose all that kind of stuff. And there's certainly been a lot of lawsuits where people haven't disclosed it, and the buyer comes back against them and wins fairly regularly for not disclosing.
Well, Bob, you and I are kind of peripherally. I'm peripherally involved. You're directly involved with a home right there next to Papago Park that was sold, and the homeowners have actually had so much settling and heaving. They've got holes inside their house, 8 foot by 8 foot. Now, all the plumbing under the house had to be redone. I mean, that's a typical situation where they actually got a fair amount of recourse against the realtor and the homeowner and the home inspector that missed everything in the transaction.
Yep.
What a heartbreak to move to Arizona, to beautiful Papago Park area, and then spend the next 8 years in litigation trying to it's a mess, an absolute mess.
And
why don't we do soil inspections as we do home inspections?
Well, we've been actually trying to get the real estate community to call us, because quite often they'll get the home inspection and then they'll have 2 days left in the inspection time, and then they'll say, oh, the inspector said to call you. Can you get out here and do a full inspection and give us the report in 2 days? It's like, no, that's mission impossible. So what we're trying to do is to get realtors to call us at the beginning of the period. We'll go in and do a foundation inspection, just like a home inspection, and give them a clean bill of health. And now they've got a record of the floor levels. Should they ever have a question, maybe a plumbing break or some sort of insurance claim, they've got a baseline to compare it to in the future.
Well, I think that would be the homeowner tip of the week from Rosie on the House. If you're in the process of purchasing, in your purchase agreement, stipulate you'd like the seller, to pay for a foundation inspection from Bob Brown's Arizona Foundation Solutions and as a part of the home inspection process.
Right. Good idea.
Rosie on the House tip of the week right there. And if you would like to reach Arizona Foundation Solutions, give them a ring. Here's the number. 602-702-5390. You can find them in the certified directory at rosieonthehouse.com. Okay, hope that answers your question, Andrew. No, Bob does not legally have to disclose anything. The homeowner does should they ever put it up for sale in what's called the SPUDS document. Let's go to Diana in Central Phoenix and welcome her to the conversation. Good morning, Miss Diana.
Good morning. I've really enjoyed your program, and have used a lot of your hints in a lot of home repairs, but this one has me stumped.
Okay.
Okay, I have a room addition that Dad put on as his man cave in 1985.
Okay.
There was a pear tree by it that cracked the foundation. We removed the pear tree and then sunk additional barrier because water was coming through the floor, 18 inches deep around the whole room to try and stop the water intrusion. We have flood irrigation, and but everywhere in the room, if you put something that is not porous on it, like a cat bowl or a piece of plastic, water is still coming through the floor. And so right now, I've had to rip out the carpets. I have everything sitting on pallets because anything I put on the floor, if it's a piece of cardboard, it will mold because so much water is still coming through the floor.
Okay.
And I've had a construction friend come over. We've looked at, is there a broken pipe under there? We did turn off all the water, see if there's a water leak. There was nothing like that. And so I'm still stumped as why is there so much water coming through the floor. There's effervescence. There's the white stuff. Part of it's crumbling, and it's like, okay.
All right. All right. Bob, room additions pose a pretty common problem for y'all.
Well, we do a lot of repairs on room additions because, frankly, what you're doing is you're constructing off the prepared pad. When I mean the dirt. That when the builder prepares that dirt pad, he'll go outside the boundary of the house by a few feet, but not much more than that. And so you're putting new footings on dirt that has not been prepared, and those generally settle. So that's a fairly common problem. And we've been doing a lot of pre-construction piers for home additions for that kind of reason. In this particular case, though, I'm kind of interested in removing the tree. And so now you've created a root system that's going to probably deteriorate and leave voids. And if you have flood irrigation, I'm thinking that somehow it's possibly getting in that way. The other thing that I'd like to think about is, even though you've checked your pressure lines to make sure that your pressure lines are not leaking, most of the time the leaking lines are the waste lines, and you should probably call a leak detector and have those waste lines checked.
Yeah, absolutely. And a lot of people ask me, you can get moisture readers that'll tell you how much moisture's in your concrete. Another simple way is just duct tape a piece of cellophane to the floor, and you'll see the condensation build up on the bottom of the cellophane, the saran wrap.
Right, and they have calcium chloride dome tests that are pretty easy to stick onto the floor and read moisture coming up. The good news is that the moisture level system that we've developed also helps control moisture problems as well.
And I'm picturing at Diana's house for Dad's room addition. It's three-sided, attaches to the house on one side. Now, she says they've gone outside the – did you understand that? She went outside the footing and sunk some penetration. What do you call those?
Like a cutoff wall?
A cutoff wall, another 2 feet down deep, hopefully trying to stop the moisture from infiltrating. That is a strategy y'all have used on other projects.
I have put in many cutoff walls. They're fairly expensive. And they don't stop everything because, obviously, you can't put them all the way down to the center of the earth.
Right. And water will seek its own level. So as soon as it gets underneath the bottom of that cutoff wall, it migrates back up to its natural level.
Correct.
So in her situation, I'm thinking the moisture level monitoring system that y'all have. Why don't you talk a little bit about this? Because it's very, very intriguing technology.
Yeah, it's actually developed out of the environmental remediation world, where they repair or remediate like bad chemicals in the soil. And they've used these techniques called active soil depressurization, where they create a vacuum in the soil and draw the water and chemicals towards one end where they can be collected. We simply adapted that to draw that moisture in the soil, the vapors in the soil, and expel them out the top, which is similar to how radon systems work. And basically, it's expelling radon, any harmful gases, and the air that has a lot of moisture in it, which then dries out those soils.
Yeah, I would think this particular situation may be an actually prime candidate for taking a look at that particular system, wouldn't you?
Correct. I mean, it's very good. The system is very good for maintaining moisture levels underneath slabs.
Okay, Miss Diana, that's Bob Brown's Arizona Foundation Solutions. The number is 602-702-5390. Now, you recently did this for a client of ours up in North Scottsdale, and they were experiencing center house surging. And you go in there. Explain what you do. You actually cut a hole in the concrete floor.
Yep.
And then you install pipes.
Correct. It's actually a fairly simple process, usually done in one day. You cut a 6-inch hole in your slab. You kind of dig a little cavern underneath the slab, maybe 2 foot in diameter. And you attach a plastic pipe that runs up through the attic. You had to attach a fan to it that runs forever. And you expel that fan out the top. And then you drill intake ports right under the slab on the perimeter on the outside that allows the dry air to come in those holes, migrate across the ABC layer, hit that little cavern and be sucked up and expelled out the roof.
And y'all actually place moisture meters in the soil that can be read?
Right. We'll put some sensors down in the soil. And what we want to do is, if at some point, it may be many years down the road, if that soil dries out too much, we don't want to create a problem. We want to be able to maintain the moisture level at a certain level, not too dry to actually create a dish problem.
And at that point, then you're regulating the timer on the fan?
Well, actually, what we're doing is we're closing off the intakes.
Oh, okay. All right.
And that way, the fan can keep running and still mitigate any radon or any other kinds of harmful gases.
A solution that's really tens of thousands of dollars cheaper than any other way we ever had to fight this before.
Yeah, literally magnitude orders of 10 or 20 cheaper.
Wow, that's tremendous. Bob Brown of Arizona's Foundation Solutions. We're going to take a quick break here and come back. We've got Doug on hold, as well as time for another call if you'd like to sneak in at 1-888-767-4348. Good morning, all y'all. Like I said, just got back from a week in Louisiana and I'm all y'alled up. I got a y'all for every occasion right now. We've got a caller on hold, Bob. He's actually a past client of yours. We'd like to bring him into the conversation and have him discuss a new development here. Doug, calling from Scottsdale. Good morning.
Good morning. How are y'all this morning?
Very good. Very good.
Good. So this has been an ongoing issue for many years, and we've had a manometer survey done through the previous company. And based on that, the recommendation was it was a heaving issue, and to mitigate water collection on the north side of the house. And to do that, we've done some irrigation, put up gutters around the house. And because of the cycle, you never really know if it's worked until you've gone through an entire season where the rains have come and then a few months later it dries out. And then in the summer, when it's totally dry, you know, the crack will close up. And then once the rains come and then it soaks up again, you wait a few months and then the crack opens. So you got to wait through that cycle for things to happen. So it's a very long process to see if anything's worked. Over the years, nothing has seemed to have worked. We've gotten more and more aggressive with this water mitigation on the side of the house, and we continue to have this crack. It's not very big. About the size of a round toothpick, just open and close as we go through these cycles. So I'm really at a loss, and I'm thinking, well, maybe it's time to have Bob come out and tell us about this new system and see if that's what we need to do.
Bob?
Absolutely. We'd love to come out and take a look at it and see if it's a candidate for that. Bear in mind that cracks happen for a lot of reasons.
Sure.
It's not always just moisture. Sometimes it's thermal. Sometimes it gets hot. Things expand. They get cold. They shrink up. A lot of different things can cause cracks, but we definitely want to take a look at it. The other thing is, as you mentioned, it's a long-term thing. It's actually more long-term than you think because it's taken probably 20 years for that soil to get underneath the house. And you can control the water on the outside. That helps, but it took 20 years to get there. It, you know, if you're going to control it that way, it could take 20 years to go away. And that's the good thing about the moisture level system is that it starts to control that immediately.
Okay.
All right, Doug, give Arizona Foundation Solutions a call. It's 702-5390, area code 602. Y'all do operate statewide.
Yes.
You can also find him at rosieonthehouse.com. Bob has been my foundation repair consultant expert at hand for, I don't know, 15 years?
At least.
Yeah, at least 15 years. We've got Carol calling with a peculiar question. It has to do with a house that's not even in Arizona. Good morning, Carol. We'll need your question really quick. Carol? Really quick. She said,
really quick.
Hey, there you go. Good morning, darling.
Good morning. I'm an avid listener, by the way. The basement has a block, which a mechanical engineer has told them that has it swayed to the inside. And then the other side of the wall in the basement has got a huge crack in it. And then it was just recently tested for 7.6 radon in the basement.
This is her son buying a home in Ohio. Now,
correct.
That, and these are all things that have been discovered prior to close of escrow. So, Bob, what would your advice be there?
Well, I mean, I would get the radon mitigated. I mean, nobody wants to live with, you know, the equivalent of smoking a pack of cigarettes a day. So, I mean, that's a pretty much a no-brainer, and there's lots of mitigators in Ohio, so you should have no trouble finding one.
This interior wall bowing in scares me more than anything.
Yeah, I mean, what happens is you typically get clays on the outside of that wall. When they get wet, they expand. What do? They push the wall in.
Yeah.
That's a fairly common problem. And there's a number of approaches to fix it. You can use carbon fiber. You can use internal wall braces. You can use anchors through the wall and into the soil to hold it steady. There's a lot of good solutions, and there's a lot of good contractors. Our main supplier, FSI, has lots of installers in the Ohio area that are really good and know what they're doing.
Well, we're going to find out from Carol. We've got her phone number. We're going to hang on to her and let you talk to her offline. And you've got a network of qualified contractors throughout the world.
Correct.
But heavily throughout the United States.
That's right.
That we can make sure she gets connected with someone she can trust. Because that all those things going wrong with that basement, I don't know that I wouldn't keep looking for another house.
That's what I told her.
Right.
She said they want the house really badly.
But I can tell you that probably any house with a basement that you buy is probably going to have some issues. It just comes with the basement world, I think.
Yeah, that's true.
You got a shout out as well from a Miss Judy in Flagstaff that you did a job for, and she just wanted to say how happy she was with the job that you did for her.
Perfect.
Fantastic. Well, Bob, thanks for joining us this Saturday morning here at Rosie on the House. Folks, if you've got a foundation concern or a soil issue you'd like to talk to a trusted, respected expert in, it's Bob Brown's Arizona Foundation Solutions. You can find him at rosieonthehouse.com under Foundation Repair, or you can ring him at 602-702-5390. And don't let the 602 number scare you if you live outside of the Maricopa County area, because they have traveled extensively throughout the entire state. Bob, thanks for carving time out of your Saturday morning to join us. Y'all join us next week when we'll be talking about trends in kitchen remodeling with our own Ann Lyons of Rosie Remodeling. And in the course of this next week, if you've been encouraged, blessed, or uplifted at all in this past hour, we would ask you to do us a favor. Pay it forward.
And I think to myself, what a wonderful